Okay, let's start again if we could. And who would like to go first, Peter or Julia, with feedback?
Okay.
Ladies first. Okay. So gallant.
Self-protection.
Right. So in our group, we had a very informative discussion, so it was very interesting. We heard diverse views in our group. So there was one view where NCI shareholders, non-controlling shareholders, are different. So you should be applying current value accounting if you have NCI. But if you don't have NCI, you should not be applying current value accounting. And also within this view, there was a suggestion that applying fair value accounting should be a high hurdle. So we need to think about what type of NCI would trigger current value accounting. Maybe it is a particular threshold. No, 20%, maybe it's a particular type of NCI, but basically a request to consider whether any NCI should trigger fair value or whether it's a higher hurdle. So that was view one. Another view one was that it would be unhelpful and unproductive to make a distinction between non-controlling shareholders and external lenders and creditors, and that accounting should be the same, that lenders and creditors need current value information as much as non-controlling shareholders do, and that information should be provided via recognition at fair value rather than simply disclosure. And then lastly, there was a view that for all parties, regardless of the presence of external primary users, predecessor accounting should be applied. And sort of on the cost side of the equation, clearly there were clear messages about IFRS 3 is costly, fair value accounting is costly, and not only it is costly, but it would also create an extra complexity for the company if the receiving entity uses fair value accounting, whereas at the parent level you still use the predecessor value. So two sets of books is costly and could be sort of confusing within the group. And lastly, one important message that we heard in our group, and pretty much unanimously, I don't think anyone disagreed with that if you take current value route, then you apply IFRS 3 as it stands. You don't tinker with IFRS 3. So these were our main messages.
Peter.
Okay, so I think we heard some of the same things. So first of all, on the non-controlling interest. First of all, if there's a really substantive non-controlling interest, so large amounts, large percentages, I think most of the group seem to feel that current value, fair value type information would be the most useful information to those particular users. There were a couple of group members who questioned that. One preparer felt quite strongly that it should still just be the predecessor method in all cases. Another suggested that although there might be some cases where it might provide useful information, there were difficulties in drawing the line, and it might be better just to use a single method for everything. And that person suggested the predecessor method for everything, also a preparer. We didn't really discuss how to distinguish whether the NCI really is substantive or not. Of course, people mentioned a couple of examples. If you've just got NCI who's an employee because you have to have two shareholders and you give them a nominal shareholding to satisfy that requirement, or if the NCI is actually ultimately part of the same group anyway and so isn't really a genuine external NCI, that's to think about that. In terms of the external lenders and creditors, there were more mixed views. Again, most of the users seemed to feel that they would expect to see the same information as the NCI, which would mean fair value in their case. Most of the preparers, I think, were sceptical whether the lenders or creditors would need that information. And one of the preparers said that it really depended whether the lenders were only responsible for the other debts, if you like, of the receiving entity A, or whether they also had some sort of responsibility for creditors within the transferred entity B, and felt that current value type information might be useful if they had responsibility for the debt within the transferred entity, but if it was just ring-fenced to A itself, that they wouldn't need that kind of information. We had a brief but I think inconclusive discussion of whether the information needs would be the same for all types of lenders and creditors, or whether they'd be more extensive for the sort of big long-term bank debt pensions than for example, short-term payables. My sense was people probably thought there might be some distinction there, but we didn't really explore that to any great extent. In terms of the controlling party, the group, I think, really more or less unanimously seemed to feel that the controlling party doesn't need to have current value information in the financial statements. The controlling party can always get that information if they need it. And actually, most and possibly all felt that they should actually be prohibited from using the fair value approach in that case. If there's no external NCI and no external lenders and creditors, then they actually thought it could be misleading to use fair value information. And I think that seemed to be shared by most of all of the group. But I think those were the main things that came out of our discussion.
Thank you, Peter. So any further observations or questions or any feedback from those groups? I think what I've found is both groups were certainly talking about very similar issues, and similar issues were raised in the groups. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for your contribution.